Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Noble Corps podcast. I am one of your hosts, John the Chief, and here I am joined by the fantastic, the Grunt.
Hello there.
It's been a while.
It's been a minute. It's been a hot minute.
Yeah, dude. Well, how's things going for you today?
Man, I'll tell you what. Things have been going pretty good. Pretty good. I'm full of hype. Got a lot quite a few topics that I'm just like, busted to talk about myself. So, you know, hey man, always a good day when there's gaming related things to really talk about, man. So I'm excited. How about yourself? How have you been?
Doing great. I'm excited to talk about some gaming news.
Dude, some gaming news, some games that we've been playing. It's just good to sit down and record again. My goodness.
Yeah, it's been a few months.
It is. I remember we started again in January. We were like, yeah, we're gonna keep doing this. Now, you know, 4 months have gone by and we haven't done it. So
no one will notice.
Yeah, no one noticed. Yeah. No.
So you get that one person that tweets us like, where'd that?
It's like, yeah, what the heck, guys? Why haven't you been recording?
Life. That's
sounds like a few.
That's just what it be sometimes.
You'll have that. But yeah, man, so we got, yeah, I mean, tons of, maybe not tons, but quite a bit of, you know, gaming content we've both been consuming.
Oh, yes.
As well as getting excited for, because we're kind of at that halfway point through the year. You know, the first half of 2023, at least in my opinion, has been, like, really nutty good. And the second half is hopefully looking just as good, if not maybe a little bit better, hopefully. You know, we just had the PlayStation Showcase, which we are going to talk a little bit about today as well. We do have the upcoming Xbox Showcase in about 2 weeks alongside the Summer Games Fest that same week. So
yes,
we are just right kind of in the middle of all the crazy stuff going on with gaming news. So kind of a nice time to jump back into it, if you ask
Dude,
me.
It is, like, honestly, probably the perfect time to really, you know, jump back into everything. There is just so many juicy things to talk about, man. Like, there's a lot of amazing things. And I'm excited to talk about some stuff that we've been doing lately.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of the, I think, the best way to start. It's kind of just talking about, you know, what we've actually been playing since our last podcast. Because I know last week we spoke, I don't know if I had just beaten the Dead Space remake. If I was in the middle of playing it,
I think you were in the middle of playing it, or you were nearing the end, and you were saying that you didn't want to beat it yet.
Okay, that sounds all about right. So that's kind of like Dead Space was the kicker for 2023. That's what kind of got everything started, which is really rare for a game to come out in January and be good, or memorable, or, you know, at least in my opinion. A conversation piece for Game of the Year. I mean, I don't know if we want to start with that, or John, I know you've been playing some new games as well recently, like new releases.
Either or. I'm down to talk a little bit about, like, maybe a little bit of Dead Space and the kind of, like, what you've been doing.
Okay, well, fair enough. So, the first thing I gotta ask, though, just because, you know, it's been a minute since we talked, have you had a chance to experience Dead Space at all?
No.
Okay.
I actually
haven't
played it. I downloaded it. And then I didn't even buy it. I just downloaded it off the app. I was going to buy it. I was like, I'll buy it when I have the money. And I just ended up uninstalling it. So I was like,
Fair enough.
I'm that guy.
That's fair. I mean, hey, man, you really got to be in the mood to play a game like Dead Space. I'll tell you what, though. You know, it's been on my mind for about 5 months now. 4 months. I don't know. Almost 4 months to the day, actually, is when it came out. So, I will say, you know, there's always that initial hype when you first play a game and beat a game, especially for the first time. So, coming off that game, you know, I was, like, super impressed. I was actually ridiculously impressed. At the time, I was thinking, like, yeah, this is probably the best horror game I've ever played. Like, this is, like, next fucking level game. Like, game design, just the entire experience, because, you know, I played Dead Space 2 and 3 just before the first one came out. I wasn't interested in playing the original, just because I knew the remake. I didn't want to spoil myself for what was going to happen in the remake. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but the nice thing about the series is Dead Space 2 doesn't really go out of its way to spoil things for the first game, outside of like a couple of reveals, but it doesn't really give a lot of context. So
kind of just assumes.
Yeah, it's just like, oh yeah, you played the first game, here's a very brief recap, you know, of what happened. Here's this kind of minor spoiler about something about a character in the first game, but we're not going to give you context about what happened to that character, but it's going to affect the rest of this story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they changed things in the remake, but I'm going to be honest with you, you know, 4 months have passed, I've been thinking about it, I've replayed it a little bit. And the, kind of the big question is does it still live up to that initial hype you have, you know, because you always come off of a game, you're like, you're super hyped, and you're like, yeah, this is the best game ever. Yeah. And then, like, 6 months pass, you're like, ah, maybe it wasn't quite that good. But, no, I'm actually pretty certain Dead Space Remake is, like, the best horror game I've ever played.
That's awesome. See, I love games that, like, just wow you so much that you're like, that was just fucking good. Like, that was just awesome.
Dude, I think awesome is a great way to put it. Just an awesome experience. Especially learning more like game design and just really digging deep into Dead Space and like how how it uses environment storytelling and how it sets up the scares and everything like that. I've kind of replayed it a little bit since I haven't done a full replay, but I haven't needed to because every time I think about it, I'm like, oh, it wasn't really that good, and I'll compare it to like Alien Isolation, which I've played a little bit recently in some other games, and I'm like, nah, Dead Space was the GOAT. It's just next level. And then replaying it through like New Game Plus, it just gets even more fun. More fun factor with that. So, yeah, as far as Dead Space goes, maybe this isn't a spoiler, but like maybe for the rest of the year, but right now it's currently my game of the year.
Okay.
For the next games I'm talking about, I still think Dead Space is just, it's got that edge.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's going to be tough to beat. It's going to be tough to beat.
Very good. Well, speaking of horror games, if you're ready, I can hop on to my next
please,
thing.
Please, please, let's jump into it.
I am assuming you know what I've played. I want to see you guess.
Shit. Horror game, then.
It's a horror game. Well, It was
a horror game.
This one was a little more goofy, in my opinion.
Did it come out this year?
It did. It did come out this year.
Boy, I'm really hesitant to say this, because this is... Because if it's the game I'm thinking of, we both have the same game next.
Oh, no, is it? Let's see.
Is it Resident Evil 4 Remake?
It's not!
Oh, shit! But it's goofy?
In a small sense. I've been waiting for this game for a long, long time, and it's finally coming out. It finally came out after being in development hell.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Hell-a.
Son of a bitch.
Dead Island 2.
I forgot that came out. I slept on that game. But I have been excited to hear you talk about it, because I know you've been hyped to hell about this title.
To be honest, I was actually very scared for this title.
That's true.
I was debating on not buying the game, which I don't know if I told you about, because I was like, the trailer looks a little too goofy. I don't know if I want to buy this now. Like, I'm a little...
I remember you bringing that up last podcast.
Yes.
But I do know you were still interested, even if it was like an epic fail.
Yeah, I think I just wanted to play it because, like, I know that the first game, like, which everyone is, like, praising, but I swear, back when I was, like, playing that as a kid, everyone was like, God, the game's so bad, and I was like, was it? I had so much fun. Was it bad?
I heard the same thing. Like, people hated it back then, but now they praise it.
Yeah, they say it's, like, so good. I'm like,
yeah.
What? Okay. I was there day one, buddy. But got it. Loved it.
Okay.
I was really surprised with how well everything plays out. They did rename zombies. They took out a few zombies. They redid a lot of stuff. And the gameplay is really fluid. I actually really like what they're kind of doing.
Mm.
I could see how they're kind of trying to change the direction of the story in a weird way. But not in a terrible way.
That's good.
it leaves a good section for a potential third game, which Yes, and I'll get a little bit into that because I have a cool thing for the marketing idea.
Ooh, dude, I'm excited to hear it.
But I just want to say, graphics-wise, like... Okay, first thing. This game came out. I know that there's some glitches, but holy shit. I would say it's really polished. It came out. I did not have a single game-breaking bug. I think it booted me out of the game once or twice, which isn't even that big of a deal. But holy shit, I had so much fun. The slashing design they had, where you can actually, like, when you hack things, it'll leave, like, a gash exactly where you hit it, which was pretty fucking crazy. And being able to, like, rip into the tissue and you actually see the different layers of the muscle is really insane. And being able to, like, the first... So, when you're downloading games, sometimes it gives you that section to, like... You're like, oh, yeah, go play this while your rest of your game's downloading. Just, like, play a little bit of our game. It lets you play a tiny bit of the story, like, very, very small fraction. But there's a spot where you have to fight zombies. And no kidding, I was just punching the zombies. And the more I punched, the more flesh was getting exposed and ripped off. And it was just awesome. I mutilated a corpse so bad that it was just bone. Like, it was awesome. Very well put together. I had so much fun. I know people that had bought it and said it wasn't worth the $70. I'm the dude that's going to say it was worth $70. It was absolutely worth every penny. And I'm very glad how it turned out. I still think it was a little too goofy in a lot of moments. I wish it was a little more serious because I feel like Dead Island 1 had some goofy stuff, but most of it was very serious. It was actually a really sad game. Riptide, some funny moments again, maybe a little more. But still an overall really sad game. So I was kind of hoping that this one would also be sad. The undertones and like kind of like the story, it's a little sad, but there's just a lot of, hey, we're a goofy zombie game type thing. And I'm like, ah, man, that kind of kills it for me. But the gameplay was fun. I had so much fun with it. Honestly, I'd recommend it. Maybe if I were to recommend it, maybe not $70. For me, I thought it was worth $70. But I think if it was on sale for $40, worth it. Worth every penny.
Okay, that's good.
Absolutely. But I'm excited to, if they do a third entry, I really hope that they don't go through development hell, and I hope they can kind of go through, refine the story, and make it a little more interesting. Because this one was marketed as DI2.
Okay.
So if DI2. You move it to a 3, it spells die.
Yo. And I was like,
that's fucking perfect for a zombie game. Dead Island 3, die. That's fucking awesome.
Dude, that is 12 out of 10 marketing right there.
Dude, right? And I was like, I bet they did that unintentionally. And I was like, dude, I already can't wait for the third game just because it'll say die.
Dude.
Like, that's awesome.
And if they don't do that, it will be the biggest missed opportunity a zombie game has ever done.
They'll fumble the bag, absolutely. They will
fumble the bag just on the marketing alone. That is so genius, dude. That is,
dude,
like...
yeah, and I think they're trying to move away from, like, the names, kind of like Halo 5 Guardians, then it went to Halo Infinite, and, like, other games moving, right. Like, with the number and the thing. This is the one time where I'm like, just leave it at die. Leave it at Dead Island 3. Because that's so clever. I love it. I can already see, like, the white text with the bloody 3. Like, that is awesome.
It was big brain time right there.
Dude, right. And so I'm like, you guys have to just leave it. I do want to say the weapon mods. So back in the first game, they actually had a thing where you could go collect skulls, almost like Halo.
Okay.
So you pick up the skull, you go to a section, drop it off, and it goes, congrats, here's a mod. You go, okay, I don't know what this mod is for. You'd take the mod, and you would get rare items, some stuff super, super rare.
Hmm.
And... as soon as you duplicate it, they had funny things to them. So there was a thing called the mind-blowing knife. If you stabbed it into someone, their head would just pop. Their head would just explode.
What?
And it was just really fun. I really loved it. So they didn't have that in this game, but they renamed it to something else.
Oh, okay.
They did it with a gun. So if you shot enough bullets into them or shot them in the head would go poof. And it was just awesome. So it's called like the mind-blowing like weapon mod. They had, like, a couple of other nods back to, like, the first and second entry, which was pretty fucking awesome. So, overall, I think it was just fun. Honestly, now that I'm talking about it, I kind of want to replay it. just because it was just so fun. It sucks you can't have, like, multiple profiles. And, dude, my favorite character made it back into the game. So I was like, yo, he's back in. Yeah.
Okay, that's awesome that there's some kind of continuity there. That's great.
But it's cool because I feel like... So you don't play as the character, which is interesting. And they do reference stuff back in the first game, which is really, really cool. And they just kind of reference, like, the certain person's career and, like, kind of what they did and what they're doing now and, like, how they got back into the situation. But if you stand around long enough, they'll actually start talking about the other characters that you don't see. So, like...
Oh, really?
I don't know if they're confirmed alive, but... There's no reason to not think, because I really want to see, like, a reunion in the next game. Playing as these characters that they set up now, honestly, a lot of them are just annoying. They make stupid-ass comments, like, half the time. Yeah. I picked the dude Jacob because he just looked the coolest to me, and he's also on the cover, so I was
okay,
like, I'll
so
just
yeah,
pick that
the guy. That's the guy I keep thinking every time I see him, like, dude, that's literally just John.
Yeah,
literally just you.
Yeah, everyone, I was talking to coworkers about it, and they're like, dude, that's just you in a zombie apocalypse. Like, you're just sitting in the middle of a river after you just slayed, like, 50 zombies. And I was like, yeah, that's arguable. Like, I'd probably do that. With the fro. And I was like,
all fro.
Yeah. He has a British accent, so I was kind of thrown off because I wasn't expecting it.
Oh, that's weird. Okay.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay, that's whatever. But, like, it just, like, it's weird, because, like, he'll make, like, very sappy, like, detective jokes, where he's just like, you're not gonna survive that one, or some shit like that. Basically, no. Just weird one-liners. And some of them were so bad that they hit hard. They were really funny. Then there's other moments where I was like, this is the most cringe shit I've ever sat through. So, that's a little rough, but as soon as you kind of get past that and you kind of don't care, I heard Jacob is the least worst, so thank God that's I ended good. Up with him. He also tends to be a little bit smarter than the other characters, which is kind of interesting. So, very glad, because they just kind of go, like, they just are stupid, and they just make stupid comments, and they're like, I didn't know that. And your character's like, oh, look how fake this is. And, like, it's, like, he predicts it kind of deal. And it's like, okay, cool, like, this guy's kind of decent.
Okay.
So, I haven't really played with any other characters, but I think I might just replay as him. But it was awesome. Super good game. The story was a little bumpy at moments, but if they play their cards right, the next entry could be probably one of the best. Especially with the name Die. So, but yeah,
that just sells the deal for me.
Right? I was like, dude, if you saw a game named Die, you'd probably just pick it up.
Yeah. I sold right there.
Yeah.
Don't even need to know what the game is. Die? Okay. Here we go.
Sure.
We're gonna die.
Yeah, buy it. But yeah, Mutilation. Awesome. If you haven't seen any videos on it, fucking watch it. It's awesome.
Dude, I mean, that's one of the things, because I haven't looked too much into the game, just because I knew eventually you would talk about it. But I have seen a few clips. Like, there's this one clip where somebody goes into, like, the restroom with a grenade or something, and there's a zombie in there, and then he chucks a grenade, backs out, grenade explodes, looks back over, and it's, like, the most realistic blood splatter you've ever seen.
Oh yeah. No, I would say the blood splatter, there's some sections that's pretty unrealistic, but that's just gonna be in video games, like, I don't care what
anyone
says.
That's just how it happens.
But
yeah.
Grenades going off, I was like, wow, like, that, I feel like if I saw that in real life, that would be pretty realistic.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that wouldn't fool me. Oh, shit.
Yeah, dude, it was really mind-blowing, and I was talking to some other developers just, like, on Twitter about it. Like, we were just sitting there just talking about this clip. We're like, dude, okay, first of all, how did they do that? Like, that is so impressive. Like, the gore mechanics. Like, I've only seen a few clips. Like, the way how accurate the gore mechanics are and such is just so cool looking. I think the other clip that really comes to mind for me is, like, you're punching a zombie in the face with, like, I don't want to say Wolverine claws, but, like, brass knuckles, maybe, and then you just punch right through their face and pull it out, and it's like a gaping hole in their head.
Dude, there's some really sick shit. I was beating the shit out of a zombie, its jaw popped off, and it was hanging from the side. And if you actually hit them hard enough, in the back of the head, their eyeballs will pop out and they'll dangle. It's awesome.
Dude,
it's fucking awesome.
Okay, yeah. I mean, when this game goes on sale, maybe, you know, 40 bucks or so, 45 bucks, I think I'll pick it up then.
Yeah, no, it's a fun playthrough. I think, honestly, with you just being a game developer, being able to just check out what they did was, it's just awesome. Like, it's just fun.
Dude, it's just, I cool. love shit like that. Like, oh.
Oh, there's a really fucking interesting feature in the game that I totally spaced, like, just looked oh, yeah? over. It's not even that cool. But, you could make it cool. Like, I could see where they want to push the technology. So, they had this really weird thing where I was playing the game, and it's like, connect your Amazon Alexa. And I'm like,
what?
Alexa? Fucking what? Turns out, you can put on the headset, and if you enable it, you can do push-to-talk, and you can talk to the zombies.
What?
You can actually sit there, and like, let's say they're standing around. You and your buddy could plot this out. You guys could be talking to each other, like, over mic, and then you could, like, go, hey, dumbass, over here, and the zombies will turn around and look at you.
What?
It's so awesome! I was like, it's stupid that Amazon Alexa's part of it, but it's cool! Dude, I didn't really use it.
That's really neat. I haven't seen anything like that since Alien Isolation.
Yeah, that so I was like...
insane.
I was like, that's really, really interesting.
More horror games gotta do that. Gotta put that mic into the game world so the zombies can hear you and you know, your noise will attract that sound. That is really neat. I would if I had an Alexa, I would totally do that.
Oh, you don't totally need an Alexa. You just put the headset on and you can link it to your Amazon account. That's all you have to do.
What?
That's all you do. It's that is nothing cool. else. I was really surprised. Cool.
That is awesome. No,
I love saying think fast, chuckle nuts, as I threw a grenade.
Think that fast, was really nuts. Fun.
Yeah, dude, it was awesome. I was like, I didn't really use it that much because I was like, I didn't want people to just like walk in and be like, what the fuck are you doing? But, you know, like, I thought it was kind of cool. I was like, the fact that that's there,
cool. that is and so if you're cool.
plotting with your buddy, you could distract them while they're all running towards you, and then, like, your buddy could come in behind and, like, sweep them in. Like,
that's
knock them down. It was really cool.
Man, that is such a neat mechanic. Kind of weird that you have to link it to your Amazon account, but.
That's why I didn't really like it that much. I was like,
that's a little weird, but, like, I think a general, like, utilizing your mic, what's that in Call of Duty? It's a proximity chat, so, like, you talk with your buddy, but it's in-game proximity chat, so enemies and, like, zombies or whatever can hear you. That is just such cool tech. I think that is just the neatest idea.
Yeah, it's actually kind of cool, but I ended up just disabling it within, like, an hour that I had it on, so...
Yeah, I don't blame you. It kind of weirds me out with that whole Amazon thing, but yeah. That's still cool. That's still way sick.
Yeah, so that was kind of like interesting to see.
That is way cool. No, that's still cool. Yeah, Dead Island 2, that actually sounds like a pretty neat game. Like my main turn off on it was like seeing the characters in the story just being too silly, and I was just like, maybe I'll let John recommend it and see if he likes it.
Yeah, so that's, honestly, that's kind of the thing. As soon as you can get past it, I don't think it's bad.
It seems like one of those games where I could throw on like Sacred Icon podcast or something and just go beat the fuck out of zombies, you know?
To be honest, there's some parts in the story that I just did not pay attention to because I was just like, I don't know what's going on.
I don't care what's going on.
Yeah, honestly, I just kind of just dicked around. I had YouTube on in the corner while I was playing through side quests.
There you go.
Good night. It was a good video game night.
That's how you do it, man.
Very
dude,
good.
I like it.
Well, I am excited to hear about your second game.
Yeah, man.
See
what
you thought of that.
For some reason, you said Goofy, and my mind went right to Resident Evil 4.
Very interesting. I didn't know that was a Goofy game.
So, yeah, it's really interesting. So, Resident Evil 4, the remake, well, I guess Resident Evil 4 has always kind of been a goofy horror game. It's always been more action horror. Like, the only previous Resident Evil game I've ever played is Village, and I think I did talk about that on the podcast at some point.
Yeah, I remember us talking about it. I remember you saying, like, how scary some shit was.
Yeah, it was a scary game. It was a decent game, but it was scary. I don't think I've replayed the whole game. I got back to the haunted House Beneviento, I think it is, and I just couldn't do it anymore. This game, it's really interesting, because playing this game, I realized Resident Evil Village is basically a remake of Resident Evil 4, but not as good and a lot scarier. Like, I'm telling you, man, like, Resident Evil 4 remake is on another level of fun. Like, it is just so much fun. And I've never cared about Resident Evil. I don't care to play Resident Evil 2 or 3. They just, honestly, they just look a little too scary, but a little too generic as far as just, like, zombie games, you know? It's just like, oh, yeah, zombies at a police station. Where have I seen that before? And I'm sure that's kind of where that whole trope started. Okay. But Resident Evil 4 is interesting, at least the remake. I can't really speak to the original, because I only played, like, the opening section at my cousin's when I was really young on GameCube. And it was fun there, but it's like, what is the best way to describe it? It is like, okay, imagine this. Imagine you're 6 years old.
Okay.
You're going to an amusement park. Call it Lagoon in Utah. I'm sure you've been there. Right? And you know how they do, like, the Halloween nights or whatever, so they all decorate the whole park.
Oh, Frightmares. Like
Frightmares, yeah. Okay, so imagine you're 6 years old with a water gun, and you walk into Frightmares, and you have these different amusement park rides. Like, you have a castle, you know, you have the main village, you have, like, a lab on an island or something. You have, like, a ride that goes through, like, the mountain or something. And you're just running through, and everybody's dressed up as, like, ghouls or whatever, and you just kind of go on a shooting spree. Like they're all, like... Oh, it's so hard to describe just because I'm not familiar with the franchise so much. But basically, the game starts off, and you're in this village that's, like, in Spain. And all of the villagers there, they're basically, like, infected. But they're not zombies. They're, like, conscious. They're, like, farmers. And they're all, like, super aggro at you. So you'll just walk in, they're burning the cop that you came in with. And they just start attacking you with gardening tools. So you kind of go in committing war crimes against them, just blowing their faces off with a handgun.
Fucking hell.
And it's just, like, the whole time, like, and you get in there, you don't really realize they're infected. Like, you know, because it's Resident Evil, but they're just talking Spanish. And they're attacking you with gardening things, so you shoot them in the face with a pistol. But yeah, you're basically, like, on this secret mission to recover the president's daughter. In, like, the most ridiculous scenario I have ever seen, where you basically have to go to this village that has, like, this religious cult that is obsessed with this weird disease or something, and they infect people, and it's weird. But at the same time, it's one of the most fun third-person action games I've ever played. It's not scary, it's, like, spooky-themed.
Okay.
Right? It's, like, spooky-themed, like a pumpkin patch or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, very Halloween-y, you know? And it's just, like, so much fun. Just going through, just absolutely murking these, like, zombie people. And then you get to, like, this massive castle, and they have, like, these vampire-ish, like, zombies that are infected with the same thing, but instead of villagers, they're, like, in black cloaks and stuff, and they have white skin, and they have swords that are coming at you. Cannons and stuff. It is, like, the most bizarre game I have, like, ever played, but it is so good. And the story is actually really quite captivating. Like, nothing about this game should work, and everything about it does. It is, like, dude, I was perplexed when I played it, because I had heard that the first Resident Evil 4 was, like, the game that really introduced us to over-the-shoulder combat, like Dead Space and Gears of War are popular for. Yeah. Resident Evil 4 Classic is what inspired that, and that's what kind of showed off that tech and how to do it, and it made it fun. This game takes that, improves it, and it's just so hard to talk about without, like, you knowing what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I think I played a little bit when I was younger. A little bit.
Like, yeah, so you got the blonde hair dude, total 2005-ish, yeah, with the hair, and you got the jacket.
Basically a human anime character.
Yeah, basically a human anime character, secret agent dude with a pistol, with a laser sight. And you go through and you, like, you upgrade your guns and stuff. You get a shotgun and shit. You take down, like, the Loch Ness monster or something. It's ridiculous. And then it somehow connects to the bigger world of Resident Evil. I don't really care about any of that because I don't. But the game by itself is just so entertaining and so much fun. I'm usually, and you know this, I'm usually not the biggest fan of third-person games. This game changed my mind on it. And I played it after Dead Space.
Wow.
I played it after Dead Space, and it convinced me, no, third-person action games can be very fun. The graphics are insane on it, too. Like, I would fully recommend this game $70.
Fully. Okay.
Straight up. It performed so well. The way they were able to transfer something from, like, 2005 and preserve that magic in a bottle and, like, launch it a second time is just, like, I don't even think most remakes can do that. And it's really interesting comparing it to the Dead Space remake, because the Dead Space remake is super, super accurate to the original, apparently, and it only adds stuff. And that's what kind of makes the game of the year for me. Resident Evil 4, apparently, you know, it removes some stuff and it adds some stuff and it makes some changes. Not everything about it is perfect, but most of it is just, like, absolutely top tier.
Okay.
For some reason, I think you would really get a kick out of it. I really do. It's just, like, the funniest kind of humor. He has, like, the funniest, like, one-liners. Like, one of the one-liners, he's fighting a boss and he, like, kicks this, like, red barrel, and you know the red barrels, they explode, like, in every video game.
Yes.
But before he shoots it, so he kicks it at a boss, and it hits the boss, and he pulls out his pistol, pauses, and he says, like, hasta luego, and then shoots it and explodes.
What the fuck?
And he's just like, what the... But he's got, yeah, some of the best one-liners I've ever heard. I quote every single day, hasta luego, when I'm going to do something ridiculous. Hasta luego.
It's amazing.
And it's ridiculous, too. Like, the boss battles are insane. One boss battle in particular sucks, and I hate it. I was stuck on it for a whole day. But the rest of them are really, really cool. There's something just so nostalgic about it. And just, like, so 2005 about it. It's almost like you have to play it to experience it. And once you play it, you get it.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't get it if you've never played it or you've never seen it. It is one of the hardest games I've ever had to describe, I think. Just because it's very so fun. It's so ridiculous. There's no reason why this game should work so well. And it does perfectly. I loved it. It was great.
Fuck yeah. Glad to hear it.
It was top tier. And I wasn't even planning to buy it. It came out, and I was like, I'm not feeling it. And I said that in my work chat, and I said that on Twitter, and I had people coming at me like, no, you gotta play this. It is one of the greatest games ever. You have to play this. Dude, I had Hidden Xperia on my ass. I had a film director on my ass about it. I had half of my team at work on my ass about it. I was like, okay. Yeah, you're right. All right, I can spare the money. All right, I'll play it. But if it's not good, I'm going to give you guys shit. And by the end of it, I was like, nope, this is...
You were literally like... I'm gonna put my money where my mouth is, and if it's garbage, I'll tell you it's garbage.
I was, dude. I was full of ready to throw fists. Like, you made me buy this piece of shit game. No, I would have paid $80 for it. It's that good.
Very good.
So, yeah, I mean, sick.
Maybe I'll check it out.
It's, dude, it's awesome. If you want to borrow my copy, I literally got the physical edition.
Maybe
just because I had cash. Because it's worth it. I don't plan on replaying it anytime soon. Just because it's so... I can't even say why I couldn't replay it anytime soon. It's just so ridiculous. But, yeah.
Fair enough.
But that kind of brings us to your next game here, John. Because I know you said you had at least two new games you've been playing.
Yeah, so Dead Island was the first one.
Okay.
I honestly can't think of the one in the middle that I was thinking of maybe earlier, but I definitely have been playing Tears of the Kingdom.
Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. All right, it's so
really fucking good.
Okay.
It's really fucking good.
Dude, is it?
I'm really surprised, because, like, so this might be a big one for people. To be honest, when I first got the game and I was on the first island, I was like, bro, this is literally the same game. I paid $70 for the same game as Breath of the Wild. I was kind of mad. I was like, this is kind of stupid. Like, I'm not having that much fun. In fact, I think this is worse than the last one. I'm kind of reconsidering, and I was like, whatever. Remember, the last game was kind of hard until you got off the main island. Sure enough, got off the main island, and it kicked up. Immediately had way more fun. I was like, okay, this is kind of fun. And being able to do all sorts of different things and getting, like, creative with, like things you can build or, like, things you can do, little side quests, things you can find. Like, you can find classic armor from, like, the original, like, handful of games. You can find, like, the Tunic of Time from, like, Majora's Mask. You can find, like, stuff from, like, Twilight Princess. And it's like, okay, that's really cool. They have stuff from previous games.
Hold up. You said Twilight Princess? You have my attention, sir.
Yeah, you can get the outfit.
You can get the outfit from Twilight Princess?
Yeah, you can just find it in, like, the Underdepths.
Well, shit, now I gotta put this game on my list, John. See, but I was intrigued before, but now you have my interest. But now you have my
full attention.
Yeah, you have my full attention now, because let me tell you something. I'm a Twilight Princess fan, bitch. I'll tell you.
Really?
That is my favorite Zelda game. I love that game so much.
Didn't see that coming. That
is
the main
reason I haven't played Breath of the Wild, is because it was too cartoony, and I was like, nah, I can't do it.
Dude, gonna be honest, so I was friends with this guy, his name is Manuel, he was a technician that I worked with at an arcade previously. Been around since the original NES, bought the first Zelda game, played it, and pretty much has played every single Zelda game. Every single one. And he's replayed all of them before Breath of the Wild came out, and he says Breath of the Wild is the best one he's ever played.
Really?
Yes. And, okay. I've played a lot. I think I've played Twilight Princess a long time ago. Majora's Mask was crowned for a long time. I really loved Majora's Mask. But I also really loved the NES one, because that one was just really fucking hard and just weird. So I loved that one. But Breath of the Wild took the cake. It was just so interesting. A lot of people don't like it because it's not like your... I don't even want to say traditional Zelda game, because honestly, every Zelda game is different. Like, they have similarities, but they're all very different. So I really liked that it was, like, so different. And honestly, like, total game changer. It proved to me that you do not need perfect graphics. You do not need good graphics. These graphics are kind of cartoony, but man, the story behind it is really, really rich, and the gameplay is just awesome. So Breath of the Wild, phenomenal. I actually think it has a better name than Tears of the Kingdom, because it just makes me think of you standing in front of a giant beast, and it's got, like, white breath coming out, like, almost like puffs of smoke, like Breath of the Wild. Fucking awesome name. Tears of the Kingdom, I think it's a mid name. Most people would disagree with me.
Mid.
But the game play is better. It is
really
better. Graphically, it's slightly better, which is interesting. I didn't think it could get slightly better. And the way the story is portrayed, and, like, the way, like, honestly, like, just what's good about Zelda is they have a very tragic backstory. Like, it's actually really, like, the games are really sad. Like, most of them, if you really get down to it, they're fucking depressing games.
They're pretty dark. Yeah.
But this one, like, you can just do so many things. And, for instance, I don't think it's necessarily, like, a spoiler or anything. But you can get Ganondorf's outfit.
Okay.
And you can, like, you basically, like, look like a demon. And it's awesome. Badass. Like, the Demon King. It's so sick. You can get, you know, the old tunics from the previous games, which is really cool.
That's
neat. A lot of people are freaking out about Twilight Princess. That one was a huge one. I'm love the Tunic of Time, and like you can make it look like the original Legend of Zelda games, which is cool. Like you can make it look like that. You can just be all old school looking and call it good. But they have so many different costumes. They have like a ninja costume that looks badass. They have a really funny, like goofy, like frog costume that actually like is helpful against like slippery walls because you got to climb up shit and like you got to paraglide. The puzzles are just amazing. Zelda's always had amazing puzzle games.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just really, really well done. Honestly, the game is just perfect for fucking around. Like, if you don't want to do a story, okay, go do your own thing. And it's awesome, because as soon as you get, like, enough, like, things to transfer into hearts, and you get those hearts or, like, stamina wheels, the game becomes way more fun, because you're not so spongy, you don't get killed in, like, 4 hits. but, dude, they have the funniest things. So, especially if you're going on Twitter for this, or TikTok for that matter, so they have this thing called Fuse, or, it's like a fusing thing. So you basically take two blocks and you can connect them, or you can take a rock and a stick and combine them.
Okay.
And like, you can make little boats. They have these things that you can make machines. People have been fucking making mecha suits and like going into like boss arenas and just fucking up the bosses in like 3 seconds.
What?
It's really funny. But I think the funniest thing is, so they have these cute little Korok guys. You do a little puzzle with them, and you get, like, a little Korok seed. And it's like, thanks for helping me. You can use this to expand your inventory. Like, it's just really, really cutesy fun stuff. So there's one puzzle that's been saying, help, I need to get to my friend. And all you have to do is take the material around it and figure out how to get it to its buddy. You can even ignore that if you want to. You can actually just walk him to his buddy, and it'll be like, congrats, thanks, you got me over here. So it really pushes being creative. But
oh no.
You see, the internet is not a kind place.
Oh no.
So what people have been doing is they've been building crosses and putting them on there and crucifying them. They've been crucifying them. But not only that, they've been lighting them on fire. So there's three sections in the game. Breath of the Wild, there was one flat plane. Think of it as just the main world, your earth that you walk on. There's some caves you can go into, but it's nothing crazy. This game, there's three levels now. There's the sky level, so you have like whole sky traversal, which is its own puzzle itself. Then you have the middle ground, which is where everything takes place. And then you have the deep underdeaths, where you go deep underground, and it's like pitch black. And you have to take, like, seeds, you shoot them into the walls or whatever, and they grow quick, and they, like, light up the area. You find these shrines, they light up the area, you get sections of the map, yada, yada, yada. But basically, they're giant, giant, giant pits. So people have built little sticks going across, basically making, like, an X over it. They'll put the fucking Koroks in the middle, crucified. They'll burn the fucking wood to let the Korok drop into the fucking depths. And those sections are hard, because if you get hit, you can't regenerate those hearts.
Oh no!
So as soon as you get hit, you gotta either have a potion to fix those broken hearts, or you're fucked. Like, you gotta be good at dodging. So it's really funny. So just seeing this fucking like cute little pure thing get crucified and getting dropped into the fucking center of the earth is the funniest thing ever. It is pure hilarity. And there's one where someone had them on a crucifix, and they had a cart, and they were just wheeling him in town. Just wheeling him in a village.
Oh,
and
my.
It's the funniest thing, because you wouldn't think of that. But
no,
then there's
I
people
wouldn't.
Out here in the world that are just like, imagine if we crucified a cute Korok.
That is incredible.
It is actually the most funny thing I've ever seen.
Dude, oh
so
my
good.
Gosh.
But the game is just, it really pushes you creatively, and it's fun. Just even as a relaxing game and just running around and just being like, what the fuck's that thing over there? And just going over there and just, like, doing your own thing. I got the Master Sword by accident. I didn't even mean to. I just pulled it out, and I was like, oh, I have the Master Sword. I don't even know how I did it. I just literally was just like, oh, I did this thing that I maybe wasn't supposed to go to yet, and then now I'm ahead on things that I shouldn't be ahead on.
What?
Really,
that
really
is
great.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. Honestly, beginning, didn't think it was worth $70. Now, worth $70. Definitely
damn,
worth it.
Damn, dude.
And if you have amiibos, it'll give you, like, shit even faster. So, like, you can get, like, the robes and shit even quicker.
Dude. Okay, alright. So.
I had you at Crucifixion.
So, you had me at Twilight Princess. The Crucifixion, that's just another level of hilarity for me. Because I love that kind of dark humor. So, is it worth going back and playing Breath of the Wild first and then playing Tears of the Kingdom? Or do you just say Tears of the Kingdom, go?
So, what I've been hearing online, I didn't bother replaying Breath of the Wild because I did a lot in it. So, little bit of backstory. So, when I got my first job, I saved up as much money as I could because the Nintendo Switch was dropping, I believe, March 3rd. About 2016, 2017.
Yeah, so that's about right.
So that was actually my first big purchase, was Nintendo Switch.
Oh, shit, nice!
Because I was like, I want a new video game system, and that came out, and I was like, man, you know, I've never had a brand new video game system that, like, my friends didn't get before me. Like, all my friends had the new stuff, then I got it later, so then I was catching up, and I was like, you know, I'm the only one with my friends, out of my friends that have a job. I think I want to get this. And saved up. I saved it for a few months because I think I was maybe making 100. I was not working very much. I was working like 2 days a week, obviously because I was going to school, but I was also making like $7.75. So I was making terrible money. At the time in high school, you don't care.
Right.
Getting money. Who cares?
It seems so like a lot at the time. Yeah.
I saved up enough to get it. So I went to buy the Switch. Turns out I'm not even close for a video game. I have enough for the Switch, but I can't get Zelda because it came out with it. And I was like, I was kind of bummed out about it. Bought the Switch and came home and I was like, well, I have the console. And when I have enough money, I can just buy the game online. It's okay. I have the console. Like, that's all I care about.
Yeah.
Stayed up till midnight waiting for the drop. Was there. Parents hated it. Went home. They were just like, you still have to go to school tomorrow. I'm like, I didn't say it wasn't. I'm fine with going to school. I just got what I wanted. I worked hard for this. I actually woke up in the morning, my mom came in, and she was holding my Switch, and I was like, what are you doing? And she goes, well, so we were kind of thinking about it, we know this is your first big purchase, and we just want to say, like, congrats, and she hands me my Switch, and they bought me Zelda.
Wow!
And I was like, oh, I can't wait to play after, and I couldn't even sit finishing school, and she goes, and you can stay home for today.
Let's go!
She's like, you're doing good in school. You worked really hard to get this. I think you deserve a day off, and I think you should stay home and play games. And I was like, this is awesome. So I got to stay home, and I got to play Breath of the Wild. So I did a lot of shit in it, because I got it. My girlfriend and I kept handing it off to each other, because we were first dating, and I was like, yeah, you can take my Switch. I was like one of three people in school to have it, so everyone was like looking at me like, yeah, it's a fucking Switch. What is that?
The king.
So, but what I've been hearing online is it's really tough to play Breath of the Wild because you got to do shrines in order to get more health, and then that's going to help you a lot because you kind of need that health for when you're fighting Ganon. But you're going to be running all over Hyrule. Like, you're going to be doing a lot of stuff. And then just to end the game and then re-go back into it and restart pretty much with new mechanics, it's a little rough. It can be done, but it's, from what I've been told, it's a little tough. So if anything, I would recommend looking up the story, learning what happened then, and then playing this game, because I feel like it's probably not as fulfilling, but pretty close, because then you're gonna be like, okay, I know what's happened in this game, because there's so many similarities between the games, and there's a lot of things that you could do in the previous game that you can do in this game. There's going to be some things you can't do in this game that you can do in that game, but overall, like, pretty similar. There might be some things that's like, oh, fuck, like, technically my character did this in the last game, but I didn't do this because I didn't play the last game. It's really weird that you'd have to kind of, like, look up, but it kind of explains it too. It's like, oh, you helped us build this village, and it's like, oh, cool, I guess. But yeah, no, it's a fun playthrough. I highly recommend it.
Okay. Yeah, you know, it's kind of sad because I do have a Nintendo Switch, or more accurately, my wife does. And I'm pretty certain I have Breath of the Wild just sitting in there in that case. And I have never touched it. I think we got it because she wanted it, and then she hasn't really played it. Man, I... See, that's the problem with me, is, like, you know, I get so attached to, like, a certain game, like Twilight Princess, and it's, like, you know, this super dark, gritty art style, this darker story, this darker take. And then I see Breath of the Wild, I'm like, oh, that's a cartoon game, I'm good. And I'm like, that's the... And now it sounds like that's the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life, so... have to correct that.
I think. I mean, it's a little tricky because, like, obviously it's cartoony. It's got a lot of, like, fun kid goofy moments, which is fine. But
yeah, right.
If
yeah,
you focus fine. On, like, the dark stuff, it's actually, like, pretty dark. Like, Calamity Ganon, like, it's actually, like, a very tragic story.
Oh, okay.
I'd say it's probably one of the saddest, actually.
Interesting. Just because.
So, to give you, like, some subtle backstory, you actually lose.
Okay. Yeah, and I've heard that.
Yeah, you lose in the game, but then you basically just get revived 100 years later.
Yeah, I've heard that, like, Breath of the Wild, it's like you died or something before, and the game starts up with your resurrection or something.
Yeah, and like, you don't remember anything, so you're just trying to re-get your memories and trying to figure out what happened and what your duty is.
Oh, and it's interesting.
Really, really well done. This one is almost similar, but you still have your memory. And you know what happened, and you know what you have to do.
Gotcha.
So it's good. It's absolutely awesome. Totally would recommend playing through it.
Well, that's good, because, you know, I've been kind of thinking about getting into playing some Switch recently, just because there's not a... For, like, the next little bit, there's not a ton that I'm looking forward to play. Right now my biggest thing is, do I want to play Tears of the Kingdom, or do I want to play Metroid Prime Remake first? That's kind of where I'm at. So, it sounds like Tears of the Kingdom is top tier, because I know everyone's, like, praising it. I've never understood the hype for them. To be fair, I've never looked into it either. So, you breaking it down, it makes a lot more sense, and now I'm actually interested in playing it, and damn it, now I'm probably going to have to go get Tears of the Kingdom. Damn it, John.
Fuck. Bills, but also games.
Dude, that's the life, man. So I'm just like, oh, man, do I do the System Shock remake next week, or do I spend a little more and get Tears of the Kingdom? That's the question. Or do I just get Metroid Prime for the price of System Shock? That's where I'm at.
Dude, honestly, I would totally get Tears of the Kingdom. Now I want to double check real fast if there is the Tears of the Kingdom. What is it called? Twilight Princess.
I don't think it's on there, because if it was, I would have absolutely purchased it day one.
Because the Twilight Princess outfit is, I think, also in Breath of the Wild.
Oh, you mean the outfit. I thought you were meaning, like, a remake, because I've been sitting waiting for a goddamn remake or just a port forever.
Yeah, they may eventually port it, because I know they're slowly kind of doing that for Nintendo Switch Online.
I hope so, because I still have my, like, at my parents' house, I still have the GameCube and Twilight Princess I could go play.
So it's still slightly cartoony, but...
Well, that's just kind of, like, the graphic design, but yeah.
Yeah, it's the style, but they have it.
Okay, I like the dark green, though. I really like the dark green.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things for me for Breath of the Wild is that he was wearing blue. And I didn't know that you could actually customize your character.
Oh, yeah, you can get different armors.
For some reason, I saw blue, and I'm like, that ain't Link.
Yeah, so that
actually... How close-minded of me. God.
So they made it blue for a new technology called Sheikah.
Sheikah, okay.
And you would kind of, like, in the story, you kind of, like, learn more about it, and it's, like, ancient tech, and it's actually, like, really cool, the way it's, like, all put together. But in this game, they renamed that blue tunic. It's called the Tunic of Memories, because the last game was you get going through and collecting your memories, and so really well put together. I really love that.
That's smart. That's cool. I love that decision. Okay, Yeah. So look, really good. I'm gonna have to put it on my list then, because before I was like, maybe I'll play it one day, like 10 years from now. But
here's a small screenshot, but you can actually scroll in the game. But this is like all the outfits you can wear.
Oh wow, that's quite a bit.
Yeah, there's a lot. You can have this like sick ninja outfit.
Yo, that is dope though.
There's a lot of like cool fucking outfits that they have in the game. They have stuff from like, let's see, they have this fucking cool ass looking one in the corner.
Oh yeah,
it's like from one of the games. So yeah, they've got that one. They've got a lot of stuff in here, and there's so many references to like so many different games, and you actually need certain outfits to get past certain areas, which is cool.
Really?
Yeah, so like for instance,
I remember that in Twilight Princess, like you had to wear the blue suit for underwater, and there was like a red suit I think you had to wear at some point.
Yeah, so they kind of took that and remastered it. So, like, when you're in the Goron City and you're going in the volcano, you need to wear a suit that's fire-resistant. So you're, like, in this, like, metal tube suit that, like, you're running around with. Then in, like, the water section, you can get a suit that allows you to swim up waterfalls, which is super cool.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that. I remember that in Twilight Princess.
Then there's also, like, a suit where, like, you're in the desert and it's, like, too hot, so you have to wear something that's kind of like good enough to like surpass that heat. But you can also go to like snow sections in the map, and if you don't have enough like gear, you can freeze to death. And dude, so like it's you know really me. Well done,
you know me and my snow maps. You should have led with that, man.
Dude, this game, it's just pretty. So I didn't know about this, but in Tears of the Kingdom I went to the snow section. And I looked up during the nighttime, and it had northern lights.
In the
game. And it was just so pretty. Like, honestly, like, this game, like I said, like, both games have fully proved to me that you do not need amazing graphics to make the game look pretty and just absolutely fun. Like, it's so well done.
Okay, yeah. I think I'm going to have to jump in then, because that sounds like an experience I want to, well, experience.
Yeah. It's worth it.
And that's the crazy thing. So I'm actually going camping this weekend. So I might have to stop by GameStop and just, well, buy Tears of the Kingdom. I don't know what else I'm going to be doing while I'm out there. Enjoying the wilderness. Disgusting. I got to play some Zelda.
Oh, let me enjoy the wilderness in that game.
Yeah. Breath of the Wild. Yeah, I'm outside, but I'm also playing my game.
Yeah, dude. Oh. Yeah, you've gotta try it. It's good,
dude. Fair enough. I think so realistically, I don't exactly know when I'm going to, but I'm definitely. You know what? Fuck it. I'm definitely gonna pick it up. Okay, probably realistically not like tomorrow to go camping, but
yeah.
Because there's a couple games, and maybe if we do get to that here tonight, that I do really want to play. Still more than that, but. Yeah, I think I'm going to play Zelda.
Dude, yeah.
I'm pretty stoked.
Depending on how things go, maybe if I beat it soon, and I know Ryan's kind of like... It's honestly, for some gamers, it's a little tough to sit through because there's just so much you have to do. If we end up beating it soon, I'll probably just let you use my copy. Because we have a physical copy, so...
It's whatever. It's not... I know it's a big game. It's not like Resident Evil 4 where you can clear it in like 15 hours. Like...
Well, you can beat it pretty fast. If you do all the right things, you could beat it real fast, yeah. What makes it fun is the side quests.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, I'm kind of a... Man, it's hard for me to do side quests because of my ADHD. I have a hard time... If I get too into the side quests and just stop playing the main objective, I will lose interest in the game before I finish it. It has happened 100 times.
Very interesting.
That is why I've never officially finished Skyrim or Fallout 4... Or Fallout 3. Or Elden Ring. Yeah, a lot of open world games. Yeah. So I'm going to have to be really, really, like, a couple, you know, just do a couple side quests, get that Twilight Princess armor, and then just plow through the main story. Because I will, Ugh, that's the problem with me, man. That's my biggest gaming flaw, is I will lose interest.
Fair enough. My thing is, you gotta make a side quest worth it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think, and a lot of the time it has nothing to do with the quality of the side quests. It's just the way my brain works, it, like, hyper-focuses on something, but that hyper-focus will only last, like, 2 or 3 weeks. So if I don't beat a game in that time, it's gonna, oh, I'm gonna be into the next subject, and then the next subject, and then maybe a year later I'll go back and play that game, but be lost because it's been a year since I've played it. Yeah. That would be my Elden Ring experience. So, but still, I really want to play it, because that actually sounds really, really funny. I think the crucifixion thing, that I think that's what got me too. That's funny as hell.
I'll send you some videos.
Yes, very
man.
Nice.
We are really talking about games,
dude.
Man, look at the time. I'm like, fuck. I want to keep talking. We should keep talking a little bit longer, but I gotta go to bed before midnight.
Absolutely, absolutely. So maybe. So here's the thing. I'm gonna skip on Jedi Survivor tonight, because even though I have finished the main game, there's actually still things I am doing in it before I want to talk about it more.
Oh, okay.
And my dad listens to the podcast, and he just got his copy of that game today.
Oh.
So I gotta be very careful what I talk about, because I don't want to spoil anything. He just finished Fallen Order.
Avoiding this then.
Yeah, so I gotta be very cautious when I talk about that, because the only thing I will say, keeping in mind I just beat it, so there is that level of hype, is I think it's my favorite Star Wars game ever.
Great.
Again, ask me again 6 months from now if I still feel that way, you know? But, yeah, it's good. It's good. I will say that. And I do have a physical copy, so if you wanted to play it.
I might hit you up.
It's fucking awesome. So, very good story, too. Very good writing. Very, very top-tier writing. So, yeah, right. No, I can't talk about it anymore.
Well, shit. Should we move on to, like, game releases, then, that we're kind of, like, itching for? Because there's so many things to talk about.
We got to. I know there's at least 2 main games that we do want to talk about, if not a little more.
Yes. Let me talk about something a little lesser that's, like, I'm excited for, but it's not, like, a dying
okay.
for one.
No, for sure. For sure. Please do.
I would say the new Mortal Kombat game.
Okay. Yeah.
Very excited.
Because I know you're the Mortal Kombat person. Now, I suck at Mortal Kombat, but I like the movie. and I love going on YouTube and watching the fatalities. Other than that, I suck at the game, so I'm having a hard time getting interested. But I want to know why you're excited, because I do want to try to get into it.
I think it's just one of those things I grew up with, to be honest. It's so I'm not a huge Mortal Kombat fan. I do like a lot of things about it. The story is all over the place. So spoilers. I don't think you'll care, but I'm gonna say spoilers anyways.
I don't care.
So in the previous games, Raiden was one of the Elder Gods.
Okay. He was. Ooh, I like that.
So he's a dude with electricity powers. So he's got lightning. Very badass. So this last few game, they were fighting against someone who was restarting time and constantly making them go in this forever loop of constantly, like, beating someone. Then something else happens and everything falls back down and they just die. And they just keeps going back into this vicious cycle. So Raiden goes, I'm going to give you some of my powers because we can't have this keep happening. Like, this is sort of my fault, too. From my understanding, I could be off. I did not even fucking bother with DLC. My buddy told me about this. So, basically, this is just kind of a simple rundown. May not be exact, but it's going to be overall same structure. Basically, he gets the powers, defeats her, but it restarts the universe. So the dude, Liu Kang, is the fire god now. So he's the elder god. But Raiden is now a normal guy, but he's got electricity power still. So he's not a god anymore. He doesn't have, like, glowing eyes. So that's why in this most recent thing, he's got, like, the red and blue fire, and it's coming up and rips the dude in half, and then, like, he does this, and it's super pearlescent. Very good trailer. Very good logo.
Very good trailer.
All around together, looks good. If they don't have Ermac in the game, I'm not fucking buying it. Ermac's my guy. He is a dude composed of souls.
Who the... Okay, let me... How do you spell... Ermac.
E, E-R-M-A-C. Ermac. And he's a green and red ninja. He is composed of souls. He's not a person. And he's capable of teleporting, and he grips people with souls. It's fucking badass. One of the coolest characters ever made.
Yeah, he's a badass. I like him.
Yes, fucking cool. My next favorite's probably Scorpion.
Base.
Love Scorpion.
Scorpion's better than Sub-Zero every day of the week, baby.
Every day.
Every fucking
thank
day.
You. I'm going to tell my coworker about that.
I don't fucking care how edgy he is. Scorpion is just God tier forever.
Also, Scorpion is not evil. Sub-Zero is actually evil.
You know, that is interesting. Because that is such a play on, like, different colors. Because, you know, fire is usually evil. That's cool. And also, Scorpion's even mega base for that, so. Yeah,
exactly. He's just fighting back because he's like, you will never be able to undo what you did to my, like, family and my clan, but I'm going to get you back.
That's right. That was in the movie.
I love that. Love that. It's even in the games, and I love that. That dude... justified, in my opinion.
Man, I forgot about the movie. Yeah, no, you're right.
Ooh, awesome. So this one's gonna be a total reboot of the original game. So
is that why it's that little teaser trailer skipped from 11 to 1?
Yes,
because it's a reboot.
The time's been reset, which is why Liu Kang is now the Elder God, because it's always been Raiden.
Oh, I see. That's smart. It's really
well done, and I'm excited to see how it goes, because it's a cool game. There's a lot of cool stuff they can do, so I'm really excited to see how it goes. But a lot of the original bosses, like enemies, are coming back because everything's being reset again.
Oh, that's cool. So, and that kind of brings us to this semi-unlikely scenario, but, you know, Mortal Kombat's cool, you know. I've got a lot of respect for this series. I don't know a ton about the story. I didn't even, for the longest fucking time, until, like, the movie, I didn't even know there was a story.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. If they add Doomslayer, I'm buying the $70 game. I don't give a fuck. Easy, dude.
So I'm there. They have things they do. So I remember back in the PlayStation 3 era, they actually had Kratos.
That's right. Yeah, they did have Kratos.
And that was badass. That was on my stepdad's PlayStation. So I played that a lot. But they did movie characters at one point. Then they also did comic book characters. I know that they did Arnold Schwarzenegger's Terminator. They also brought in Rambo, which was pretty cool.
They brought in Rambo? That's badass.
Yeah, Rambo was in the last game. Which is pretty interesting.
That's cool. I love Rambo.
They also brought in RoboCop, which is pretty
interesting. Yeah. How did I miss this? That is fucking badass.
So they tend to do something very specific each generation. So there's a chance that Doomslayer could make it in if Microsoft and the studios that makes Mortal Kombat decides to do a partnership.
Dude, I remember, and I don't know how, like, factual this is, but I do remember listening to a podcast that had the director of Doom 2016 and Eternal. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but I remember that one of the main reasons why they, I don't know if he was joking or if he was being 100% serious, but I remember him saying one of the main reasons Doomslayer wasn't in Mortal Kombat is because he was too overpowered and he would basically one punch everybody. Yeah, so that's the thing. They'd have to nerf the fuck out of Slayer, but I'd still buy the game. I don't care.
Who cares? It could be non-canon. It.
Yeah, no, I'd be down. That's really cool that they do that. I hope they add Doom Slayer.
That'd be cool.
Him and Master Chief have been popping up in all the shit lately.
So, I think they said Homelander and Omni-Man are rumors to be coming.
That's right. I think there's a leak about that, which is really cool. That's really cool. I don't know. Omni-Man is fantastic. I hope they get J.K. Simmons back to voice him.
Oh, they probably will.
Because that was the best part about him.
So, yeah, there's Mortal Kombat. That one I'm kind of excited for. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. So, I saw, like, some clips in the trailer, but, again, I've never been invested. So, I'm still very... I don't know much about it. I just know I'm going to look up the fatalities when it comes out for sure.
There's some in the trailer, so if you haven't seen the trailer, you should just watch the trailer.
I saw part of the trailer, like in one of just like when you're scrolling through Twitter and it like plays. Like I saw somebody getting ripped in half, like going up or something. I was like, dude, that's sick. Yeah. And I kept scrolling.
It's crazy. The blood and like the body parts are pretty realistic, so you should watch the
trailer. Dude, I'm stoked. I still remember, I think it was for Mortal Kombat X with Scorpion versus Sub-Zero in the forest, the ice forest. That was one of the coolest trailers I'd ever seen. That was awesome.
It's really good.
Oh, man. Well, I know there's another game that you and I are both very much looking forward to. I think it's safe to assume it's both of our most anticipated game of the year.
Yes.
That being Bethesda's Starfield coming out on September. I was going to be like, bullshit, John, you fucking liar.
We were just talking about this before the podcast.
Yeah, I was like, motherfucker. Yeah, they have a release date since last we talked, September 6th, I think, September 9th, somewhere around there, which is, like, just a couple months away, dude. I'm so fucking pumped! Like, so I remember, so this is just as of this week, because, you know, with the PlayStation Showcase and stuff, and people are talking about, you know, Starfield, because Redfall kind of had a really rough launch and stuff. I was like, man, I remember being excited for Starfield, but I haven't watched anything on it since the thing last year.
Yeah.
I was like, well, you know what? I don't know. I'll just watch it again and see if I'm still excited. And I watched that 15-minute gameplay reveal, and I was like, holy shit, this game is made for me. This game is going to suck me in ways that Skyrim and Fallout couldn't, just because it's a space adventure.
Fallout sucked me in really bad. It got me totally into the series. But the thing is, I was talking to Ryan, and I was like, yeah, I fucking love space. And I was like, I love Halo, and I love space, but I wish there was, like, a Fallout game that was takes place in space. And not even kidding, like, a week later, Starfield was announced when you and I were hanging out, like, watching it. And I was like, oh my god!
Dude, it was, oh. And they have the double-barrel shotgun in there. Okay, that part I was losing my shit because I did not remember that. And then they were talking about the ship customization that you can fly it and do combat in space.
I'm going to make a pelican.
Dude, I you're right? I'm just like, this is the greatest fucking thing I have ever seen. I am so stoked.
And it's on Game Pass, baby. Woo.
It is, dude. It is. And I'm so excited. And I found out they released the main suite for Starfield, like the main theme that's like 10 minutes long. So, yeah, that's what I've been listening to all week, basically.
Based.
Dude, it is so good. I'm just so excited. I cannot wait for June 11th when we have that Xbox showcase, and then after that we have our own Starfield showcase. I am so pumped.
Is it the same day?
It is the same day, and I think it's like 30 minutes later.
Fuck. I'm going to be out of town.
Because I know you said you're going to be out of town. That made me so sad, but I'm excited for you, but I hope we get to still talk about it, like, after.
Oh, we'll talk about it. Oh, we'll
because,
absolutely
man,
talk about it. I'll be back. I'll be back home the 12th, so I'm only going to be out of town for 3 days.
Oh, you're going to be back the next day. Hell yeah.
Yeah, next day, like, night, so I'll be back at, like, 10 p.m.
Dude,
but,
we'll just have to do a podcast, like, the next day or whatever, but...
Fuck it. Yeah.
Dude. I don't know if you've seen the gameplay recently...
Planning on rewatching the stuff tonight because I've been really excited. I've been wanting a new game that I really want to get involved with, and I think Starfield's, you know, the next perfect one because I really loved Cyberpunk. Cyberpunk was amazing.
I still got to replay
that. But I think
that.
This one's going to just rip the cake out of its hands.
Dude, yeah, I heard somebody talking about it was like the perfect terminology. It was like NASA-punk. Like, Starfield is NASA punk, where cyberpunk and there's steampunk, NASA punk, and I was like, "That's it. That's my new obsession."
Whoa. Okay.
I love it, dude.
Dude, space is so badass.
I don't know if you saw the reveal date trailer, just the really brief thing that looked like there was like some kind of weird forerunner, like technology. I saw that. I was like, "Dude, what?"
Dude. I know that Tom Howard said that this is, like, the next thing that he's been wanting to make, that they just didn't have the technology, but now they do.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, he's not fucking around.
I was at work, and we were just, you know, we were just doing our daily thing, and I threw on this, like, three-hour podcast. I just hit my mic. This three-hour podcast with him, and apparently he's been wanting to do this game since before Elder Scrolls. Which is... fucking nuts, dude. So I really hope they get to realize their vision. I'm glad they got the delay. I hope that they're, you know, maybe the game is content complete and they're just working on fixing the bugs and stuff. Because I really want this to be a really strong... Yeah, I want this to be a super strong launch. It just looks so good. And I'm going to play the fuck out of it.
I actually think I may take some time out and actually spend a couple days playing it.
So it's funny. It comes out at the perfect time. I think it comes out, like, the day after my contract ends. So I'm probably just going to take a week off of everything and just play that.
Fuck it.
So I'm hell excited, yeah. Dude. I am so... Like, that's the thing that's going to get me through. It's like, oh, that sucks, but... Starfield, let's go!
Dude. Starfield's going to be absolutely amazing, and there's so many things I'm excited for it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely... Assuming we don't know some other things, but assuming things are going the way I'm anticipating them going, it is my most anticipated game of the year. We'll have to see, but
I agree. Yeah. Honestly, I don't think I've been this hyped about a game since Halo.
Since Halo.
So
yeah.
I think
yeah, I'd probably say the same thing actually because I am very much stupid excited.
Yeah, I was going to say this very much could be my next favorite game, depending on how things go.
Yeah, I really hope they nail it, because just watching the gameplay, like, comparing it to, like, Fallout 76 or Fallout 4, whatever the last one was, just with, like, the facial models of them talking, I'm like, that is some insane improvement. So, yeah, I could do a whole fucking episode on Starfield, I feel like, just dude. Breaking it down.
We could.
I really think I could, even just based on what we have now. So that
makes touch on information.
Yeah, no, it's dude, man. I'm telling you, when you go tonight and you rewatch that, I don't know if you're gonna do it on your phone or not, but turn up that volume and just soak it in. Yes.
I've got a big enough screen for it. Big old screen, we're good.
Man, throw on your headphones, turn up that music, just listen to it. Dude, the sound design, dude, I'm telling ya. The burst of that double barrel shotgun. Ooh, it sounded good.
Oh, man. So many things to look forward to.
Yeah, so many things to look forward to. I'm not sure if there's any other games you really wanted to talk about tonight. Or not. Because that would be a good time to bring it up.
Ooh, honestly, I think I'm good. I don't know if I have anything else to bring up because I'm also fucking tired.
I know. I'm sitting over here yawning. There's just one last thing I want to quickly touch on.
Dude, yeah, of course.
Because I am collectively losing my shit for it more than Starfield. I know that goes directly against what I just said. But the reason why is because I don't think it's launching this year. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a next year launch. And that is Bungie's... new marathon game. The game I made you, the trailer I made you watch before we started.
Yes. I don't know what's going on. There's so much to unpack that I don't even know how to unwrap the package.
Okay. So, oh my God, dude, I'm so excited. Okay. So you've never heard of Marathon, right? You don't know what Marathon is.
Kay? No, not even.
So, so Marathon, my friend, Marathon is the precursor to Halo. It is the game that Bungie... It's the trilogy, or at least two of the three games that Bungie made before Halo. It's a retro boomer shooter, okay? Very much like Doom, a classic Doom. But except for it was like... I think it's credited as the first game to have vertical looking. At least the first game. And dual wielding. It was the first game... It's credited as the first game to have dual wielding.
Whoa. Believe it or not.
Okay, so that's some important context, is that this is Bungie's pre-Halo game. And what they're doing is that with this new Marathon, it's very different from what it is before. Because if you look at the old Marathon, if you ever look it up, it is very much, it looks like a wannabe Halo game. Like, down to, like, the Mjolnir suits. Mjolnir? Yeah, Mjolnir Mark IV suits. The Reclaimer logo, lots of symbols that they use in their Forerunner language in Halo. The Marathon class cruisers in Halo 2. Yeah. The Pillar of Autumn has the Miller, the Marathon logo on the side of it. I don't know if you knew that.
Did not know that.
343 Guilty Spark Eyeball is the Marathon symbol, and so is the Reclaimer symbol. So basically, Halo is deeply rooted in the Marathon series. It's a very old series. If you wanted to play it, it's like on PC. I don't know if it's worth really playing through at this point, especially if you're not obsessed with like retro shooters like I am. Because I don't even think it was as good as Doom, but it had some really cool ideas. The cool thing they're doing with this one is that they're not actually making a campaign game out of it. What you saw that trailer, they're actually making an extraction shooter. Which, for some people, very disappointed. For me, I am beyond fucking hyped for. Because, I don't know if you know what extraction shooters are, but it's kind of like Battle Royale, but there's a lot more to it. And it's very much story-based. You know, you go in with your friends and whatever, and you find exclusive loot, and you uncover the stories of this world, and you got to get out of there with things that you find. If you die, you'd lose everything, but if you get out, you can come back later with your upgraded suits and stuff.
Okay.
And this new game, it's a reboot, but it takes place in the exact same universe as the original Marathon games. And you can even see in the trailer one of the original enemies that you fought. And you may not know it right now, it was that little cape thing, like the character that had like this like wardrobe going down, and it had the green Iron Man. So that was one of the enemies you fought in the original trilogy. I don't really know how to pronounce their names, but this was a really, really big reveal for me, just because they're continuing the story. There's a lot of references to Halo in ways that aren't Halo, but they are. And like the main way, it's just like one of Bungie's like older relics that they're bringing back in a completely new way. Okay. They've got a cool vid doc out if you wanted to learn more. I am so hyped. In fact, I was so excited when they announced this that immediately after, I went and looked to see if they had any job openings soon so I could work on the game.
That's awesome. Because I'm going
to be honest, that is like, when I'm done with Apex and all that, that is the next game I want to work on so bad. Like,
that's awesome. Hopefully.
I am like, my mind is spinning with the possibilities of this game. Like, I know I'm kind of rambling right now, dude, but if you spent any time, like, if you watched the vid doc and you looked at how that these developers were approaching the story with it not having a traditional campaign, and just, like, the concept art and the ideas they have, like, this extraction shooter thing that they're doing, it is the next Battle Royale. 100%. This is the game type that is going to overcome Battle Royale, because it's deeply rooted with similar rule sets, but there's so much more to do. There's actual goals and story. And one of the really cool things as well is like the director of this title and several higher ups and stuff are the same people who have been working at Bungie since Halo 1.
Damn.
Since the first game, they're Grizzled Ancients. Like, you would recognize their name if you saw them. And the lady, the woman who created, like, the Marathon symbols, all the Halo symbols, all these super iconic, iconography or whatever?
Yeah.
She's working on the game, too.
Oh, shit.
And their art style is just on another level. Like, throughout the entire PlayStation Showcase, and really, most things I've seen, I have never seen an art style this cool. It's very different than what Bungie usually does, and that's what I'm most excited for. So
yeah, looks interesting.
Yeah, it's really cool. They have their own ARG marketing going on, kind of like what Halo does and stuff. So lots to look forward to, and I've actually been spending time like looking into the lore of Marathon and stuff. It very much, the Lord of Marathon very much comes across as a ripoff of Halo, except for it came out before Halo, and they just, Halo just kind of took the cool ideas from Marathon and just made it better and polished it. That's basically what happened.
Huh. Okay.
In fact, I also learned that a lot of people were theorizing that Halo Combat Evolved was actually Marathon 4 back in the day. Because of how similar things were. So, it is really cool. It's a really cool subject to look into. I'm, like, super into the whole thing right now. And I want to learn more, because the next time, they're going kind of dark on the game again after this announcement. And they said they're approaching alpha stages, which is pretty interesting. And the next time they come out with any kind of content or they talk about the game going forward at all, it'll be a lot closer to launch with gameplay, they said.
Oh, sick.
So the next time we hear about this game, it's going to be, like, really close to launch. So I don't know if this is going to be a late 2023 release. I don't know if this is going to be 2024. But I think this is the next multiplayer shooter that I'm going to be, like, fully invested in. So
I mean, it sounds good.
It's, man, I am so passionate about it.
I'll have to look into
it. Maybe tomorrow I'll send you some things to look into.
You should.
It is so, dude, oh my god, it is so cool. I want you to get into it. I just want to be, like, in a fire team with you and a couple other buddies, and we go into this extraction zone with threats and PvP and stuff.
Dude, oh, yeah. I mean, that sounds totally rad. I mean, I kind of liked the way it looked.
Dude, yeah, at first I was very, very thrown off. I'm not going to lie. I was like, oh, that's Marathon? That doesn't... Huh, okay, that's weird. But then I've rewatched it so many times, and then I realized, oh, it's telling a story. And I would keep rewatching it, and then there's, like, this QR thing you can scan with your phone. It'll bring you to a website where you can unlock more of the story. There's, like, so much going on with it. I'm just like, this is so cool. And then the vid doc, dude. Oh my god, the vid doc. With the developers talking about what their goals are about this game. They're showing off this concept art. It really looks like Halo meets Cyberpunk 2077 meets, what's that show? Westworld. With Marathon's lore in there. And references to Halo outside of the lore. That I've never been explored before. Oh, dude, it is like the gift that just keeps giving. So, man, if we had more time, I would totally dive into it. But I'm tired. I know you are too. So
I'm just like, there's like so many things I'm thinking about now.
So I'll send you a couple videos. Hidden Experio came out with a very good video. He covered some of my worries about the title and a lot of the factual information. But I recommend that video. But yeah, let's just say you're going to be hearing a lot about Marathon from me going forward. Because if it is coming out this year, it is my most anticipated game, period.
Great. Period. Yeah, dude, that's awesome.
Fucking there, dude. So, with that being said, I'm starting to lose the ability to speak English, so I think that's a pretty good time to kind of wrap up the podcast.
Dude, I think it is a perfect time to wrap a podcast. We've been recording for a while, so I think it's perfect.
Hour and a half, baby. We're going hard with it, and hopefully this is a weekly thing again, because I have loved this time, so.
Yeah, dude, it was a lot of fun.
Dude, absolutely. But yeah, there it is. We're back again.
Woo. We'll try to do another one soon. We'll see what happens.
I really hope so, because I got so much to talk about, and I know you do too.
Oh, we always have a lot.
Well, awesome, guys. Well, hey, thanks again for everybody who, you know, listened to our podcast today and lasted especially to the end and really had to hear what we had to say about games. We really appreciate you tuning in and listening. Definitely hit us up though on our social medias. You know, we got at the Noble Core on Twitter, which hopefully Elon Musk has not erased, because I haven't been active on it for a minute. So I'm going to go try to correct that right now. shit. Please go ahead and follow my buddy here at JohnTheChief117 on Twitter. He's awesome on there. And then if you want to just hang out with me on there, I'm always on Twitter at Infinite Grunt. That's where I'm at. You can always hit me up there. I'm always talking about random shit. So, yeah, that's where we're at right now. But again, thank you again for listening to us. This has been the Noble Core Podcast. We'll see you again here very soon. And before John says the iconic ending line, there's one last thing I want to say. And I got to look it up because I don't remember the exact terminology. Maybe I won't. This is embarrassing. Damn it. I had it up, and then it reset.
No, you are good.
It's a very...
very noble core fashion.
It is, dude. It is. Just being unprepared like this, I should have screenshotted it.
Nah, dude. Just...
oh, there it is. There it is. All right. So I'm going to send you guys off with this, all right? Somewhere in the heavens, they are waiting.
Hmm.
It's a marathon reference. You'll get it later, John.
I'm just like...
what? Yep, what? Somewhere in the heavens, they are waiting. Yeah.
Lit.
All right.
And like always, my fellow Spartans, Noble Corps, out.